It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And on today's episode, we are going to run through waiver wire targets before week 14. Adam, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
What do you think? How do you think I'm doing? what a dumb question.
Look, you don't have to come at me just like Michael Hyde and Poyer, man. I mean, like I get the sauce is real, but you don't have to come at me like that.
I love Hyde and Poyer. I don't know what that was about. All the reporter asked was like, was it embarrassing that they ran the ball?
They got up in their fields because they got their ball run down their damn throats, man. Like, and my whole thing on social media was, look, somebody asked a question, answer it. That's fine. If you got a problem with the fact that the Patriots threw the ball only three times and ran it all over you and you don't want to hear questions about it, stop them. That's all you got to do. It's that simple. Stop them. If you don't want to hear about it, stop them.
The one thing about that game that, well, there was so much bad. Like, the coaching, it was probably the worst coach game Buffalo's had all year. How do you not have any design runs for Josh Allen in that game, especially when they were in the red zone, especially considering how bad their red zone offense was? The one positive from that game is Josh Allen still absolutely threw darts in the worst possible conditions. I mean, he's an absolute stud. But yeah, the Bills are bad. They might not even make the playoffs. Let's move on.
I don't have any other words, man. I mean, look, they struggle, dude.
You got to laugh it off.
It's crazy because, like, you see a lot of these teams, like Kansas City, Buffalo, teams are playing them a certain way, or they get into certain conditions, and you see these offenses that can't be multiple. Like, you see Cincinnati. Cincinnati can flip on a dime and say, okay, fine, you're going to let us run. We're just going to run the damn ball. We're going to feed Mixon 30 carries, and we'll beat you with defense, and we'll beat you that way. You see Kansas City, they can't do that. They're winning with defense right now, but they can't run the ball to save their damn lives. Same thing with Buffalo. Like, you can run on the Patriots. The damn Tennessee Titans just ran on the Patriots. And Buffalo's like, nah, 55-mile-an-hour gusts, we're not about that life. Like, we're not even going to check it down to the running backs. We're not going to check it down to a lot of players. Like, I was befuddled watching the Buffalo attack in this weather, one. And you know I'm not a huge weather guy. Like, a lot of the weather narratives and people start freaking out about 12-mile-an-hour winds, and I'm like, I don't care.
That was
way different.
That was the outlier. But
yep.
Like I said, like, I thought Josh, given the circumstances, was pretty damn awesome. It's just when you have no semblance of a running game, the offensive line has been really, really bad this season. And then on the opposite side, when the Patriots are just establishing whatever they want up front, which was the problem Buffalo had against the Colts, and it was the problem in this game. And who knows if it would have been the problem against the Saints. I mean, the Saints didn't have Armstead, Ramchick, or Kamara, or Mark Ingram. So, like,
yep,
they did what they should have done against the Saints. But, like, yeah, I mean, I said this before in the podcast, and I'm not changing my stance. Like, the Bills are, like, an average team right now, and given how tight the AFC is, now they have to go to Tampa Bay. There's a very decent chance the Bills don't make the playoffs this year, and I'm just going to go, this is what happens as a Bills fan. You at the end of the day, your heart becomes broken. So luckily, I mean, dude, I'm a little numb to it, so
they've got to figure it out. And my whole thing is that, like, yes, you lost Tre'Davious White, but, like, you still have a good secondary behind you outside of one quarter position, which we still don't know what to make of Dane Jackson. Like, short, limited sample. He's been inconsistent. He's had some good games, some bad games. It just kind of depends. But my whole thing is that, like, you have the secondary help and the talent on the back end where you can kind of sell out to stop the run and say you're going to have to pass on us. Like, they do have that. And so, like, last night, you know, like, that's what I didn't understand with that entire news conference, and Poyer and Hyde are getting all pissed off because somebody asked a question. It's like, yeah, you should be freaking embarrassed. You should be pissed off. Don't get pissed off at the media for calling you out for the fact that, like, a team legit just said, we're going to run the ball until you stop us. And they couldn't do shit to stop them. Like, yeah, you should be pissed off, but don't get pissed off because somebody asked you a question because of the fact that you sucked last night.
I think that is what it is, man. And we'll move on in a second. I think a lot of it was more, I just think the Bills coaching, like, you had 10 days to game plan for this. Yep. And it's not like the weather just happened on Monday afternoon. Like, we knew days in advance it was going to be pretty bad weather. And you assumed that it would be a very run-centric game. And it took until like the eight or nine minute mark of the fourth quarter for Sean McDermott. It was during a TV timeout. He pulls Matt Milano out over to him and says, just once you see that guard pull, just crash and just go right at the running back. And he had two straight plays where he made a tackle for a loss. And it's like, why did it take three quarters to make that adjustment in the most like vanilla basic game plan on offense on the other side? So I thought McDermott was like legitimately awful last night. Like
I thought it was bad, dude.
Kicking that field goal where Bass missed it into the wind that just had no shot. Like, I just, the red zone play calling, Daboll was bad. And you know, I love Brian Daboll, but like, why are you not utilizing Josh Allen when Singletary is not getting it done? Zach Moss isn't getting it done. Brady fumbled and then didn't really get the ball the rest of the game. You're not throwing with a ton of success in this game. Why are you not using quarterback? Because you're doing that every other game.
Yep.
Especially inside the 10-yard line. And the Bills got so many gifted short fields in this game and just for nothing. So, I mean, it's maybe the Bills, game, dude. Yeah, maybe bad the Bills game. Sneak into the playoffs. And when you have, you know, the offense they have in terms of the passing game and Josh Allen, like, if they get hot, who knows? Because there's no real team that says, like, the Patriots are the number one seed. Maybe this is me being bitter. I don't think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC talent wise, but
no.
They have the best coach. They have a great defense and they're on a hot streak right now. But like, if that game's played in a dome, who knows what happens? I'm not saying that, and I'm not blaming the weather. The Bills, it didn't matter if it was 85 degrees and sunny or what it was yesterday. The Bills they got outcoached and they just got outplayed, and they gotta find something. They gotta find something. It's bad.
The problem is you have certain teams in the NFL right now that can't counterpunch. Like, that's what happens. Like, a team says, okay, we're going to do this, so this is the game we're going to play, and they can't be multiple, and they can't counterpunch. Basically, it's like, we're going to take away your deep passing a game. So, okay, what are you going to do? We'll give you the underneath stuff. Can you beat us that way? And it's like, some of these teams are like, okay, sometimes we can, and sometimes we can't, and some can't run the ball well enough, and it's, I mean,
Buffalo New England's doesn't have resting any, on... They don't have any yak players either. Like, Stephon Diggs, second, third best receiver in the NFL. Not exactly a guy after the catch that's going to make a ton of great plays. It's Cole Beasley, Manny Sanders, Gabe, like they're not incredible after the catch. So when teams are playing that cover two shell, it's like, okay, you get the 6 yards, but then you can't really, you know, like we're seeing the Chiefs, like teams are letting them just get these 15 play drives and hoping they make a mistake, you know, a holding penalty sets them back. And at least the Chiefs, like Tyreek Hill, can take a, you know, 6 yard curl route and make a guy miss and go for 30. The Bills don't have that element in their offense. So when teams are playing that cover two shell, it's like, okay, you threw a 6 yard pass to Cole Beasley and it's 3rd and 4. Like, cool. Let's see if we can get a stop now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they're hurting for that, but if you're seeing a lot of the play designs too, you know, and you watch a lot more Buffalo football than I do, it's a lot of out routes. I'm not seeing a lot of like shallow crossers and ways to create yak for these guys. Like, you're not seeing Diggs is getting thrown contested balls on the perimeter, man. Like, where are you seeing they're running slants over the middle and you're giving opportunities for yards at the catch? Because you're throwing contested balls into traffic and things like that for some of these players. There's not those opportunities because of play designs, too. So I think they got to go back to the chalkboard and they got to sit here and draw some stuff up, man. So enough about pounding on the Bills, man. Like, I know that wound is fresh. We weren't going to be able to get away from it just because of last night's game and the oddity of it.
It's nice to vent, though.
I mean, you got to get it out somehow, man. I mean, look, I don't want you going crazy and with all this pent-up Bills rage and stuff. So, look, you have to sit here and have a medium to do that. What a better way to do it than tilt with me, my friend. So, before we get into these waiver wire targets for week 14, got to remind the good people out there again about the FTN Daily Lineup Optimizer Package. $49 a month, you're getting all four sports optimizers, player roster projections for one low price. Start building that bankroll. And if you are out in the social media streets, shout out to the dude, the GOAT, John Kelly. Took down the showdown, baby. You love to see it. $40 single bullet. Dude walked up home with over $300K in the bank last night with showdown for that game. If you want to start building your bankroll today, get signed up with the code FTNTV. 15% off of every single month. And from winnings to losings, man, I got bludgeoned in the battleground over at Top Prop last night, man. Like, I put up my stuff and, like, this was a little bit before I saw all the weather things. So, again, prayers and apologies to my bankroll. But I took Nelson Agholor over Brandon Bolden. It was close, but Agholor didn't. He got one target, didn't catch it. If you want to sit here and come take the head-to-head action with me in the battleground, head to topropfantasy.com right now. And they're doing risk-free contests for FTN users. Use the promo code FTN50 at checkout. Get signed up today. And look, it's literally the simplest form of daily fantasy. You're picking a player to score more fantasy points than the other player. That is it. So head over there today, topropfantasy.com. Use the promo code FTN50 and get signed up today, man. I'm posting all my action on the Twitterverse, in the battleground, in the lobby. Take the head-to-heads. Come try to take my money, man. Adam, let's kick this off, dude. Week 14, waivers. We were disgusted. We were turning our nose up at this list. Before we went live, it's a motley crew of people, man. Give me the first name on your list.
Van Jefferson's the new Rashad Bateman. Why?
I don't get it, man. Why do we have to keep bringing him up? I don't understand it. Why people
please,
don't want to pick this
please
man up.
Go get Van Jefferson. He's the number two receiver on the Rams. And Odell's snaps were down this past game. I wonder how much that had to do with him, you know, being limited in practice throughout the week. But Van Jefferson, 6 catches, 8 targets, 41 yards and a score. He now has at least 7 targets in 5 of his last 6 games and at least 6 targets in all of those games. Has the downfield role in this offense. He's top 10 in yards before the catch per reception. We talked about his upcoming schedule in the last pod. It's favorable. It's not great. It's not terrible. Should we just like, you know, last week's waiver show was Van Jefferson and MVS. Like, we can kind of, especially since this week is not great for waivers, we can kind of just go right back to that well. Like, go get these two players, especially MVS. I mean, we talked about the schedule with him, how the teams that he faces down the stretch have been bad against mm-hmm. deep passing. Is it Baltimore on that list too?
Yeah.
And they just
and now they're without Humphrey.
Exactly. Yep. So, Van Jefferson, I don't understand, but he should be, you know, waivers run tonight. He won't be because there's a lot of teams, you know, playoff starts, so a lot of teams are checked out and stuff like that. But in, you know, any sort of competitive league, he should be 100% rostered.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, I don't understand why he keeps making the list. People, I mean, it feels like people keep doing this with wide receivers, and some of this could be like more shallow leagues, and it's like he's worth the pickup even in shallow leagues. Like, you're literally talking about a guy that's inside a top 5 scoring NFL offense. And yes, everybody wants to hate on the Rams and their personnel decisions and all this different shit that's just popular to talk about and trash on social media. But the Rams are still a really good NFL team. They're going to still put up a ton of points. We know the role that Van Jefferson has in this offense. And I mean, from one fast team, fast paced and high passing rate team to another, I'm going to bring up Devontae Parker here, man. Came back last week from the injury, and we saw him come back. Like, I don't think he was a full-time snap player. You're looking at he only ran routes on 72% of dropbacks, got a 12% target share. And yes, Jalen Waddle was still the number one dude there. Parker is going to have a role in this offense, and a good one, I want to say, man. Like, we know Miami can't run the ball. We know Miami is top 5 in passing rate and neutral scripts. We also know that they're top 5 in pace. So you're going to get play volume. And for Parker, I mean, dude, he literally at the beginning of the year got less than 7 targets in 0 of his games. So the fact that he comes back and they ease him in, he gets 5 targets, doesn't worry me a lot because two has shown that he's willing to sit there and target the guy. And you're looking at a schedule that's fantastic upcoming, Adam. Like, 3 out of the next 4 games, all advantageous matchups. They get the Jets, which I don't need to tell you anything about the Jets or spout any kind of numbers. It's the damn Jets, okay? Parker can have success. Then they get the Saints, who are allowing the fourth most points per game to opposing wide receivers. Then they get the Tennessee Titans, who are second in fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers. I like Parker, man. I think that as long as he's healthy, he's going to get 7+ targets every single week he's on the field, and his snaps are going to trend up. And we know what this Miami Dolphins offense wants to do. So if he's out there, go pick him up, even in shallow leagues. I like him down the stretch run, man. There's a few wide receivers that are on your list. Run through these next two guys for me, because you know I'm not the biggest Russell Gage stan, fan, whatever. Dude got a lot of volume this last week.
Yeah, and it's not even just last week. Like, he had the 12 targets on Sunday, caught 11 of them for 130 yards. But the last five games, he's just under 8 targets per game. He's out-targeted Kyle Pitts. And with this offense right now, they're not taking shots down the field because they really can't. Gage is just getting kind of peppered with targets. I haven't seen any updates on Calvin Ridley. If he's not back, I mean, look at the schedule. It's Carolina this week, which is interesting because Stephon Gilmore was on Kyle Pitts a lot when these teams last played, and Gage had a goose egg, which, you know, It sucked. But that would leave him with what, AJ Boye, who you've talked about on this podcast?
Yep.
He's not been good in coverage.
AJ Boye, you throw at him and he gets completed. That's right. That's the crux then, of it. I mean, Jalen Waddle ate his lunch, man.
Yeah. Then it's San Francisco, Detroit at Buffalo, which still isn't a great matchup, but, like, again, it's not as bad with Trey White not there. And then New Orleans to end the season, potentially, if that's, you know, in week 18, if you're still playing in that week. So Russell Gage at PPR league, I mean, the production, he's got at least 7 targets in 3 straight, at least 5 catches in 3 straight. In full PPR leagues, Russell Gage is someone you can comfortably start as a wide receiver 3 or flex this week if you have, you know, Jalen Waddle on bye or Michael Pittman on bye. By the way, this is the worst week. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is on bye this week. So how are you getting your 30 fantasy points this week? I don't know. You'll have to find a way. But yeah, Russell Gage. And then KJ Osborne. He's been the number 3 receiver for this team, but Adam Thielen suffering a high ankle sprain, and they play on Thursday night, which puts his status in serious doubt. And Osborne stepped in and was a full-time player. You know, the Vikings don't run a lot of 3 wide. So when they're in 2 wide, it's obviously Jefferson and then KJ Osborne, who actually led the team in snaps at receiver. I think he had 7 targets in the game, scored a touchdown. So we've seen him have some games this year, you know, behind Thielen and Jefferson. And I don't think, you know, all of a sudden you're going to have, yes, Madison's going to get 20+ touches, but, like, all of a sudden the Vikings offense on Thursday night, probably not going to have Dalvin Cook or Adam Thielen. So yeah, Jefferson and Madison are going to get a ton, but then there's still going to be plenty for KJ Osborne. So I would probably, you know, assuming Van Jefferson, shouldn't be available, even though he is, I would have Osborne and Gage as the 2 top receivers. And I do like the Parker call. I think people will look away from him just because he's on a bye this week, but I mean, there's so much upside down the stretch. And the other thing that I'm surprised you didn't even mention, how good is Tua playing lately? I think he had an 80+% completion rate in November. Was the highest, one of the highest rates in NFL history for a month. Like, he's playing awesome.
Keep talking about it, man. I keep talking about it, and people they want to stay just married to their priors about Tua. I don't understand what the guy has to do. Like, legit, he is playing with a team that the offensive line is terrible. They can't run the ball. Teams know both of these things. And still, Tua is playing extremely, extremely damn good, man. Like, I'd have to go back and refresh the numbers. The last time I looked at it, over the last few weeks, he's legit top 12, top 10 in the NFL in adjusted completion rate and deep ball completion rate. Like, what else do you want him to do? I don't understand what else he has to do, Adam. So, yeah, I'm totally with you. Tua is playing really good football, and people need to wise up. Like, if Miami doesn't want to invest in this guy long term, that's to their own detriment. Fine, whatever. Trade him somewhere where people are going to love him, because they should. They should invest and they should build around him, because I think he's going to be a really good NFL quarterback, dude. And
Tua, by the way, real quick on Tua, last 4 weeks leads the NFL in adjusted completion rate, 2nd in overall completion rate, just 1 interception. He has been pretty, pretty good.
I love it, man. I'm a Tua stan. I went from not knowing what to make out of him to the more, like, through the off season and stuff, I was like, His offense could be something. Tua could play well, and we're seeing him, man, now that he's healthy. So love that, and I love the call for KJ Osborne, because you look at KJ Osborne's schedule, legit, what are we worried with it, man? Like, you have the Steelers this week, who secondary's been terrible. They're legit bottom five in deep passing completion rate, passer ratings allowed. We've talked about how this Pittsburgh Steelers defense is not the same that we remember from previous seasons. Then they get the Bears, who you've heard me trash on the Bears secondary all year long. Then they get the Rams, who are allowing completions like crazy. Then the Packers, and then the Bears to close the season. Like, maybe you're worried about possibly the Packers, but outside of that, the rest of it is plus matchup for KJ Osborne, man. So love the call on him. I get the reasons to pick up Gage, and I agree with all of them, dude. Moving over to the running back position, I got to get Kenny Gainwell in here, man. Boston Scott was not a thing. I know he was dealing with the illness, so he's probably going to come back. Miles Sanders is banged up yet again. Kenny Gainwell is a guy that if he's out there on the waiver wire, you need to pick him up, because if Miles Sanders is out for any amount of time, then we're going to see a two-headed backfield, because Jordan Howard is still out. He has yet to even practice. So I don't even know if we even see him come back this upcoming week or the week after that.
Eagles are on bye this week, by the way.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is I don't even think we'll see him come back to practice field. Like, I don't even know if that's even going to happen. So with Gainwell, we're looking at what could be a two-way backfield. Like, it legit could be Scott and Gainwell down the stretch. And the schedule looks good, man. Like, you have the Washington football team who, yes, they've been good against the run, but if we're playing Gainwell, it's probably more for the passing game role. They've allowed the most receiving touchdowns to opposing running backs. So they play over the next four games. They get Washington twice. Then they get the Giants, who are eighth in receiving yards to running backs. And then they get Dallas in a pace-up spot where they're going to have to put up points, man. And Gainwell's probably going to get some checkdowns in that game. Dallas has been good versus receiving backs. But again, I think he can get the work, especially if this is only two running backs we're talking about here, Adam. So I think he's worth a pickup, man. Like, what are your thoughts on Gainwell?
I'm a little bit hesitant just because Miles Sanders sounded like he'd be fine. But again, it's 2 weeks in a row now where he's aggravated that ankle injury.
Yep.
Boston Scott, they said he played three offensive snaps. They said because he wasn't practicing all week with the illness, that's why. I would imagine he's back to playing on offense. I think the interesting thing with Gainwell is there was no Scott essentially, and Jordan Howard was out. And Sanders got a career high 24 carries, but it was still Gainwell getting the 2 minute drill and third down work. So, there's still an avenue there. I didn't write this team down, but what about the Titans running backs? Because they have a decent upcoming schedule too. We saw Dontre Hilliard and Deontay Foreman both kind of get plenty of touches the last time we saw this team. They both ran for 100 yards against New England. And look, Julio Jones might come back this week, but this team's clearly decimated on offense. They need playmakers, so.
Yeah, I don't hate the call if they're still out there, man. I mean, I haven't seen. I had to go back and check, is McNichols practicing yet or not? Because as soon as he's back, Hilliard's dust. Like, I don't think we're going to see a role for Hilliard. Maybe I'm wrong with that. And again, if I'm wrong with that, they're worth a pickup. Both of them, I think I would obviously take Foreman over Hilliard. But if Hilliard's out there and you got the space and you need the stash, I don't hate the call, dude. So, who are the last two names up on your list before I close this out with a guy that apparently still needs to be brought up?
Yeah, like, it's tough right now because he's injured himself. But if Ricky Seals-Jones is back for Washington, we know the role he's probably going to have, because Logan Thomas, it sounded like it was a torn ACL, MCL, and now they're saying it's not that, and he might actually come back this season, but I'd be stunned if he played the next week or so. And the last time we saw Ricky Seals-Jones, you know, as the full-time tight end, he was exactly that. He was like 100% of the snaps, like 90%+ of the routes. This is an offense that, look, it is very frustrating to watch Terry McLaurin because he's getting doubled and triple teamed all the time. So if that continues, I mean, targets are going to go to Antonio Gibson and the running backs and Ricky Seals-Jones. So if you need a tight end, look, tight end's obviously a lot of bad situations at tight end. You know, Dallas Goedert's on bye. Jasicki's on bye. So Ricky Seals-Jones, if he's practicing and he plays this week for Washington, he might be a top 10 tight end for me. I mean, just we already saw the usage and the role he had as the full-time starter this season. So if I don't see why they wouldn't go back to him. I know they have Bates there, the rookie, but keep an eye on Ricky Seals-Jones for sure if you need a tight end.
I love that call, especially if you look at the rest of the season schedule for them. They get the Cowboys twice, which you can get over on the Cowboys with tight ends. Like, they've been bottom five in most metrics over multiple seasons. So, and they get who they also get two matchups with the flow sheet, man.
I was literally going to say, pick them up just for sheet. That.
Dude, it is legit, and Ryan Griffin proved it last week. If you are a tight end and your heart is beating, you can score a touchdown too, dude, people.
What about
you
the Giants game? You can score a
touchdown
game
against the Eagles. It's insane, man.
The Giants game. I don't touchdown. Even know. I don't even, like, listen, you know, fantasy football. I know a lot of players in this league. I've never heard of the tight end that scored for the Giants against the Eagles 2 weeks ago. And that's just where the Eagles defense is at against tight ends.
It's crazy, man. It's basically like, if you're a tight end, like, we just put you like as that being your position eligibility.
You start with six,
pretty
right?
much score.
You just start with six.
It's true, dude. Like, I have never in my life heard of Chris Myrick until he scored that. And I'm sitting here like, even doing Showdown or getting deep in the weeds with these depth charts in preseason, I was like, who? Who's that? So, I mean, dude, it's real. So, if Ricky Seals-Jones is out there, you got to consider picking him up. As well as, man, like, I know everybody's got their jokes and everyone wants to trash on him, man. And I'm not saying that he played well. But dear Lord in heaven, Taysom Hill was awesome for fantasy. Like, I know that he was 19 for 41 passing. They also were missing both of their starting tackles. Alvin Kamara was out. If Kamara comes back, that's basically saying, hey, Taysom, here's your wide receiver one.
Taysom also hurt his thumb, so that doesn't help.
He did, so we have to monitor it. So if you're picking him up, again, don't blow the fab. Don't sit here and crush the budget. You probably don't have much to begin with, even at this point of the season. But if he's out there, dude, still, for all the jokes and all the different shit talking people want to have on Taysom, 100-plus rushing yards, QB4 on the week with all of these different factors we're talking about. Four picks in all, Adam. QB4. I like fantasy points. I know you do too. Taysom Hill is going to score them, dude. And you look at the schedule. They get the Jets. Oh, dude, massive awesomeness. Then they get... We just saw what Gardner Minshew did to them. Come on, you tell me Taysom can't have a day? God, get out of here. Then they get the Bucks, the Dolphins, Carolina, and Atlanta to close the season. I think Taysom's gonna walk into multiple top 5 weeks, dude, regardless of what people want to talk about Taysom, whether they want to hate on him or not. I like fantasy points, and if you do too, you need to be sitting here picking up Taysom Hill. As long as he's the starter and provided health, and granted, these are up in the air right now as far as, like, with his health, he's going to be a startable QB1 in fantasy down the stretch run, man. What are your thoughts on Taysom? And give me this final name on the list here.
Yeah, just obviously keep an eye on the injury report. But all of a sudden, you know, given the turnovers and everything, and he still scored the fantasy points that he did, and now you potentially get Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk, and Teron Armstead back, you would like them to have some, you know, difference maker at wide receiver, but it's not going to matter if Taysom Hill is going to... I mean, that game got so bad for them passing that they just said, you know what, yeah, we're running QB power with Taysom Hill. And he was 8 yards, 15 yards, 7 yards. You know, so that's probably going to be part of their playbook still. And some of the matchups coming up are very good. So just keep an eye on his status with the injury. Broncos defense, if they're out there, they're at home against Detroit. Detroit coming off a win, so you know they're going to lose and score 6 points now. But in all seriousness, I mean, it's just that simple. And then I'll add one more player. He's at like 60 to 70% rostered, so it's not like he's like widely available, but I understand it's been a frustrating season. He's been on IR for half the year, but if Julio's back, they just don't have anybody else. They just don't have anybody else to throw the football to, and they got some good matchups coming up starting this week with Jacksonville, so... Keep an eye on Julio. Again, it's scary because the hamstrings has been an issue all year, and he could easily be back on the IR by week 15. But if he can stay healthy, he could be getting 7 to 10 targets a game, especially if the Titans struggle to run the football. And Like, I still think Julio Jones at this point of his career is better than a lot of the receivers you're going to find on waivers, especially given the fact that AJ Brown's on IR.
Yep, I don't disagree at all, man. And the problem with Julio has not been effectiveness, it's just been health. Like, literally, it's just been availability. Because if you look at multiple different metrics, yards per route run, it tells you, that it paints you the story that Julio has not fallen off, that he's not dust. He just has not been able to stay healthy this year. Outside of that, he's still been really effective when he's actually been on the NFL field. So I agree, man. If we see him come back and he's healthy down the stretch, we know the targets are going to be there, and I think the effectiveness is still there too. So if he's out there for some reason, go pick him up. Go stash him right now. Before we get up out of here, Adam, got to give the good people a sneak peek, a preview to something coming to the betting space, dude, and that is Profit Exchange. Coming soon to New Jersey, this is a peer-to-peer betting exchange giving you price-sensitive users, everybody out there that cares about all these prices, and you should be, the ability to get the best odds and prices in sports betting. So you set a line or price for others to bet on, or you place a bet on an existing line. Right now, Profit Exchange is running a promotion called Exchange the Love. Exchange is going to increase the Go Live deposit match by $25 for every 500 people that they get to pre-register before launch. So we're trying to get you in the door, sneaking you in the back door. Adam and I are the bouncers, and we're trying to get you in the back door of the club right now. Go to ProfitExchange.com, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, Exchange.com, 21 and over, and present in New Jersey. Terms apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, everyone, that is the show. Those are the waiver wire pickups you need to be targeting before week 14. Adam and I will be back discussing moves you need to be making in your dynasty leagues. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.